the buzzer. McCord on its way. Oh my goodness.
They have to get it. With no timeouts, they do.
Courtside with Greenberg and Dokic, the definitive college basketball podcast.
Go inside and out. Bikes feeds it in. Diener to win it. God, he's done it again! Travis Diener and the Golden Eagles are the champions of DBT.
Hey, welcome to Courtside, America's greatest podcast, actually the world's greatest podcast. It is the great Seth Greenberg and Dan Dokic. And that was Travis Diener, Seth Greenberg, doing Travis Diener things. And Travis Diener things are winning $1 million, my friend. How about that?
How about that game? First of all, I mean, unbelievable ending. You're playing an eight-point game for $1 million. That's like going to the park and saying, if I win, all right, I stay on the court. If I lose, I'm done. I'm finished, kaput. Forget about it. I'm going to go get in trouble. 8 points, $1 million, incredible game. I mean, think about how Golden Eagles started the game. You thought it was going to be a blowout. I mean, you said they're like
the
team. They're denying them the ball back. I mean, they're scoring. But, I mean, and then they come back. Other guys step up. I mean, all of a sudden, the court's wide open because they're not denying Keenan. Guys are driving it and scoring it. That game was a big-time game. Your thoughts?
Why are you on my ass about that? I thought.
I know you made the money yesterday.
I'll tell you who did think it was going to be a blowout. The great Fran Fraschilla came on my show, and I said, all right, Fran, what would the line be? He said 7.5. The line at the time was 3.5, so there might have been a producer of mine that made a little money on the 5. Hey, but Seth, you've been talking about it. Fran's been talking about it. What a great tournament, man. I mean, somebody, maybe it was you on my show yesterday, said, look, if the NCAA doesn't want to get started, let's get the TBT to have another one. Let's go. I mean, what the hell? We got the inventory. We need it at ESPN, right? Let's go.
You know, to me, it sounds silly, and I get a little outside. Like, society could learn from the TBT. The NBA could learn from the TBT. I mean, think about it. You know, the cool thing about TBT is when teams lost, did you see the number of guys that tweeted and congratulated Golden Eagles and talked about, you know, what a great experience it was? Teams that lost got on Twitter immediately following losing and said, hey, I want to thank the TBT, incredible experience. It was the greatest. Obviously, we're disappointed we didn't win, but good luck to Team X or Team Y. And then even yesterday, after Golden Eagles won the game, you saw a bunch of guys reaching out and congratulating them. Like, the TBT is bigger than money. The TBT is almost like a fraternity or a family with 24, or it could be almost 60 in a normal year. Different extensions. I just think it was incredible. The drama every game. The Elam ending is a ridiculous way to end the game. It's unbelievable.
It's the best way there is. I mean, it's so much better than walking back and forth shooting free throws. You know, I mean, it's so much more exciting. There's so much tension in the building. You talked about it, and Franny talked about it. We saw NBA players taking charges in the All-Star game. To me, it's the best ending you can possibly have. And really, it would take about, in my opinion, one experimental year. You know how we do those experimental things in the NCAA? I think it would take one experimental year before people start clamoring for it. I honestly do.
I agree with you 100%.
And we didn't even have, in this tournament, and I've talked about this a lot, we didn't even have the tension in the gym among the fans. Not the players. I'm talking about the fans. Because I could see, truthfully, I could see Indiana, I'm just using my local Indiana, playing Purdue Assembly Hall, going, oh, the whole place, like uptight, right? I think it'd be absolutely great. And I think we should put it in as let's go by protocol. Put it in as an experiment and then see if you like it or not.
I agree. I mean, think of it. They had back-to-back games where at the end of that 4-minute mark, it was tie score. So, like, in the end, everything on the line, first to eight. And I tell you, the rule they put in about if you're over the bone, the number that every single common foul is one free throw and the ball. You talk about the pressure that puts on the defense.
Yes.
Then without fouling and to keep the ball in front and not to reach and contest the shot, make sure you rebound the ball. And then it was an interesting thing. I was talking to a couple of people. It also puts pressure on teams not to have wasted possessions during the course of the game, because you want to build up your inventory, which is points, going into the Elam ending. So like the, every possession means, I think, a little bit more, because you're trying to build up that inventory going into the last 4 minutes. I just think that, you know, it's not a gimmick. It's not a gimmick.
No. Nope.
Yeah, the other thing is, it's not a gimmick. I thought the coaching of the TBT was really, really good. Really good. I thought the teams played together. They played hard. They had good defensive principles and had good defensive game plans. The ball moves. How about that last play? I mean, think about it. It was like multiple penetrations. The ball went into the post. Diener slides to the baseline. Unselfish kick out. He shot ready. Bam. I mean, that's just good basketball. The three that Wilson made before, they made back-to-back threes. Both Tekeem made the three and then Wilson made the three. I mean, to me, the quality of basketball was, and no one was complaining about food. No one was complaining about their hotel. No one was complaining about anything, but thankful for the opportunity to play. It's a great lesson. Like NBA guys should be watching that and going, you know what? These guys are playing for the love of the game, to have one more time to put that uniform on, whether it's with their teammates or for a cause. And we've got some guys that are can't figure out when and where they can get their food and are complaining about staying in a place you and I would love to stay in, a hotel for a resort. Now, look, they're making sacrifices too. They're there from now until October. I mean, that's really hard, but there's also a reward at the end of it. The TBT, only one team got a reward.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something. There's not an award at the end. There's an award every 2 weeks for the NBA guys. So, I mean, you know, that check comes about every 2 weeks or whatever it is. I'm going to go back to something you said. It's not a gimmick, just so people understand. A gimmick is a red, white, and blue basketball, which I actually loved growing up, by the way. That's a gimmick. This is not a gimmick, the Elam ending. This is a part of basketball that would enhance the game. I mean, a little bit like a three-point shot. I think people thought the three-point shot at first was a gimmick. That's not a gimmick. It's something to enhance the game. Look, I'm not saying you have to do it. I'm saying I would like to see the Elam ending on a experimental basis, like we have had in the past with the trapezoid leg and things like that. The other thing about the TBT, and I thought this was outstanding, Joe Johnson, to me, it kind of typified the TBT. Here's mine. He played really hard. He played to win. There was no, hey, I'm a seven-time All-Star. I watched him in the huddles. He was looking right at his coaches. He wanted to be coached. He wanted to be a part of the team. And then after the game, when they lost, and look, let's be honest, man, he's there to win. He's on national TV. He had the ball. I think he had a chance to win it, and he missed a shot off of good defense. And he stood around. He took pictures with everybody because, let's be honest, the guys that you play against look up to a guy like Joe Johnson, seven-time All-Star. I mean, are you kidding me? 19, 18-year career, whatever it was. So I thought he kind of typified it. But it's also interesting, Seth, how, we talked before, four NBA first-rounders on Boeheim's Army, Joe Johnson, overseas elite, added all these guys who won the tournament.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting.
You mentioned Joe Johnson. I interviewed Marcus Keene yesterday, and I asked him exactly that about taking a picture with Joe Johnson and the other guys. And Marcus Keene said, Coach, he competed like hell. And the nice things, he came over to me and said, keep on doing your thing. Keep on playing hard. Something good's going to happen to you. Now, he didn't have to do that. And like you said, timeouts, he's locked into his coach. He created a walkthrough the day of the game. I mean, didn't take a bad shot. And this is the thing people don't understand. NBA, good NBA players have PhDs in the game. The game is in slow motion to them. They take what the defense gives them. If you run a double at them, you know what? They back dribble, boom. They're going to move it, and get a shot. If you don't, they're going to face up. They're going to try to create space. There's no wasted motion in Joe Johnson. He didn't have one issue with the official. He didn't have one issue with anything or anyone. He just played ball. And, I mean, I'm a big Joe Johnson fan. Now, I'll tell you the other thing that was really good in TBT, the officiating. I thought the officiating in TBT, and I think having the officials mic'd up is absolutely incredible because you see the communication. Because good officials, I say, good officials have to do two things. And you can't be a good official unless you do both. You've got to be a good play caller, and you've got to be a good communicator. If you're one and not the other, you're not a good official. And they had a really good group of officials that really, I thought, did a great job of calling the game, yet letting the guys play, but incredible job of communicating, and it made the game more enjoyable.
I think you're absolutely right. I don't think you can let it go to that extent sometimes going to the basket that maybe they let it go. But, man, did I like the fact that we didn't have everybody trying to audition for J.D. Collins. And, you know, it was like, I guarantee you this, Seth. I guarantee you that these officials enjoyed the living hell out of officiating those games. Not because there wasn't any pressure, because I can make the argument there's more pressure. These guys lose, man. They're out of a $1 million tournament. But I think they didn't have to pose for J.D. Collins and the head of officials, keep the benches down, make sure the little coach is in the box, don't let your shirt untucked and all the stupid stuff that we could call every foul. And the stupid stuff we get into that really bogs down college basketball. I'm with you. I thought it was an enjoyable games. I thought the officiating was fantastic. I thought Mike's on the official, the interaction between players. Isaac Haas was explained about a foul where he went to the head, which I didn't think was a great foul. But when you explain it, hell, it's good by me. People asked me, I was on radio in Chicago, and they asked me, okay, how can the NBA bubble work relative to how the TBT is? And what I said was simply this. If the players want it to work, it's going to work. You already have, what's that, Rashawn Holmes. Bowling Green used to be smarter. Rashawn Holmes went to Bowling Green. Obviously, Bowling Green got stupid because that guy just left the bubble, went out. Now he's got a quarantine. Another guy left his room during quarantine. Look, TBT players wanted it to happen. If players want this to happen in the NBA, it's going to happen. If they want to be jackasses, there's already, you know, Instagram models saying I've been invited into the bubble and different things, then it's not going to happen. It's literally, I hate to say it, but it's literally that simple. You come in there, you don't have the virus, you've been tested. If you have the virus, you go home. So common sense says, if everybody in this bubble doesn't have the virus and we don't let anybody in the bubble and we do what we're saying, then we're not going to get the virus and we'll have the NBA. But if players want to be jackasses, then you know what? It'll all get shut down because of player irresponsibility. Well, I saw it. And guys in the NBA, not guys, but people in the NBA were hostile at the Indiana Fever. I got two texts from people that I know in the NBA saying, what is your team doing? How irresponsible and immature the Fever were, because three, I think, got it from playing pickup games when they were specifically told, hey, look, we're within the realm of the league starting, stay in. If players don't want to be responsible, it won't happen. If they do, it will. It's that simple.
Yeah, and look, it's discipline. I mean, you know, it's no different than the world that we're living in. I mean, in our country, I mean, we have a little bit of discipline. Maybe we can beat this thing back. We don't have discipline, we won't. I mean, like how difficult, and we said this on your radio show, and I went on kind of a soapbox, but it's real simple. We got to learn to be comfortable being uncomfortable. You're an NBA player. You're going to work, make millions and millions and millions of dollars. Be comfortable being uncomfortable because that's the reward. You get the opportunity to play and compete for a championship. You're going to get your full paycheck. Everything's going to be good. Putting on a mask. Be comfortable being uncomfortable. You know what? I know wearing a mask is uncomfortable. You know what? If it's going to mean that we can get back to some semblance of a normal life sooner, then put on a mask. Social distancing. If it means giving up going to a bar one night. If it means whatever it is. Like, here's the deal. We got to have some semblance of discipline. And the NBA guys have a lot at stake. Major League Baseball has a lot at stake. Major League Soccer has a lot at stake. If we want sport, then we're going to have to make some sacrifices. The kids, the men that played in the TBT, they wanted to play. They wanted to be part of that. So you know what they did? They bought in. Like Travis Diener had a great line. He said, what did we do? We played cards. We played video games. We drank beer. We hung out. We developed unbelievable relationships. You know what? That's the worst thing that happens to you. and you get a chance to chase a dream, chase a championship, play for, can finish your season, earn your paycheck. If that's the worst thing that happens to you, you know what, for 3 months or whatever it is, it's hard. I understand that. Just be comfortable being uncomfortable. I mean, there's certain things you can control. You can control your attitude, your work ethic, and the decisions you make and the choices you make. Those guys are going to have to make those decisions. It's just plain and simple. Does it make any sense or not?
No, it's exactly right. And I hope they do, because I want to watch the Pacers. The only, people say, well, you watch the NBA. My answer is, yeah, but it's nice outside, and I got a lot of things that I like to do outside, which is some are conducive to my health, some are not conducive to my health, but that's all right. But I do want to see the Pacers beat the living hell out of the Heat, because I hate the Heat media. I hate every person that's in the Heat media. I hate the old crotchety. They got some old crotchety assistant coach. You probably know him. Been a Heat assistant. Now he's a radio guy for 100 years. I guarantee you know him. He's a jack.
Are you watching?
Yeah. No. Who else? Nah, he's some old guy. They come at me all the time. And the show before mine is Levitard. They come at me all the time. I don't like any of them. I want to see all I want to see is the Pacers beat the Heat in the playoffs. That's it. So, Pacers, Heat, stay in the quarantine. I want to see an ass kicking. I'm swearing a lot today because I'm fired up.
You're fired up. Well, I mean, your Cubbies are going to start playing.
Yeah. Hey, Seth, one last thing on the TBT that was brought up yesterday. I'm curious. You said this, and maybe we touched on it. I can't remember, but let's say college basketball doesn't start. Let's say college basketball doesn't start until January 1st. Is there room enough between now and January 1st to have another TBT tournament?
I actually think there is. Here's why. Because I think a lot of these guys that are planning to go overseas aren't going to be up to go overseas. I think a lot of these guys that are planning overseas, second division teams, even higher, the money's not what it was. Let's face it. I mean, the pandemic has impacted not just our country's economy, but the world's economy. And therefore, the opportunities for guys are going to be limited. So is there an opportunity? Yeah, I actually think no matter what, there's an opportunity probably between November and December before Thanksgiving for another TBT. And depending on what happens, if our sport doesn't start until January, maybe even prior to December. Because the NBA, remember, is not going to supposedly start until what? Christmas. Right, isn't going to tip off Christmas this coming year. That's kind of projected as the plan. So anything before Christmas possibly would work. Would people want to play in it? Yes. Do people need programming? Yes. Do guys who will not have the same opportunities be all in? Without a doubt. And it's been proven. You can do it in a safe environment. People would have to make sacrifices. And I'll tell you the other thing that impressed me just overall. I mean, like sideline cancer, think about that journey to the finals. Think about the teams they beat. Like, they were a really good team. And to see the growth of Moe Creek and Remy Amon, to see Marcus King get a chance to play on national television, who led the country in scoring, to see Eric Thompson played at UAP, OP, and a couple of junior colleges, to see those guys grow and develop. Here's one of my pet peeves with the NBA. NBA guys, a guy stays in college 3 years or 4 years, and the NBA guys go, well, he's 22 years old, years old. I mean, okay, yeah. So now I'm watching these guys playing the TBT that are 24, 25, 26, 27. I remember as college players. I see how much better they are.
Yeah.
So, right. I'm asking this as a basketball guy that loves the game. The NBA evaluators, they get seduced by potential, and that's great. But you know what? I'm looking at Malcolm Brogdon. I'm looking at Jalen Brunson. I'm looking at, you can go right down the list of guys that, stay 2, 3, 4 years, and they come out as grown men. They come out more coachable. They come out understanding their roles. They come out with a understanding to be winning players. And you watch these kids that have been over to Europe, and they buy into, I'm going to get paid if I'm a winning player, and I buy into my role, and I learn the hows and whys. So NBA evaluators. Enough of look, there's some really good young players, but you better start looking at guys that actually have a maturity and a mentality so that your culture and your locker room is a winning locker room. Does that make any sense?
It does, but you can go the other way, too, and say, hey, look, look at all the best players, man. They came out when they were young. I mean, whether it's Devin Booker. But what I would do is this. I'd combine the two if I was an NBA guy. I would be like, all right, this guy's really good. This guy's got a chance to be real. So many times the NBA, or either they're bad evaluators, which a lot of them are. Like, they'll take a guy in the draft. I'm like, that guy has no chance. Like, zero. Did you not do any homework? I would rather take a guy instead of that guy. I'd rather take a guy with a little bit of a backside to him, a guy with a little bit of ups and downs in his life and experiences. I think that guy can make your practice better. I think he can make your training camp better. I think he can make everything better. So I agree with you to a certain extent. But, man, you know, Seth, the NBA, the truth of the matter is, and this is where you're right, the truth of the matter is, what is it, 20, 25 superstars, everybody else a role player?
That's role kind players. Of,
yeah, so, I mean, I don't care where you find them, but to eliminate somebody because they're 24 years old seems idiotic to me, right? Oh, he's 25 years old. We got to eliminate him. Well, the average career is 3 to 5 years. So I think you're right, but I also think, look, you got to be careful because a lot of these guys blossom into a lot better because they did come in younger. And because you know this better than I know this, people assume that, well, in college basketball, you get all this great coaching. In the NBA, you get none. That's just not the case. I mean, NBA
is perfect.
Yeah, I mean, NBA pays six figures to guys just to work you out every day. I mean, college, you're restricted by nonsensical rules about how many times you can shoot free throws with a coach, you know, on an off day or whatever. So I do agree with you. And I do think – I think the quality of play has gotten much better. Like, I think the quality of play in the by the way, I just got a notice that Bloom Energy, my stock tip a few weeks ago, just went up 16% today. I'm now up 122% since May 26th. When I give people a stock tip, take it, damn it. Anyway, I try to help where
I can. Are you selling? Did you take some off the table?
No. I got good. I'm hearing this going to continue. I should probably sell it right now, actually. Take some money and run. But what are you going to do?
If I had your money, I'd give mine away.
Okay. I'm looking at my background. Nothing. I'm looking at your background. Oh, wait a second. Oh, Boyd Gaming is up 11.5 today. Holy cow. Boyd Gaming, DraftKings. DraftKings went under 30, pal.
Hey, I'm sure you get your money sent to you by Zelle.
Oh, yeah. Hey, how about that? Last thing. How cool is that? Like, by the time they get in the locker room or to the bar, they got their money already. That's awesome. The TBT has it covered, Seth. John Mugar, he's the best, man. He should be running the NBA in every league out there. He's the best.
I'll tell you what. I'm all for a TBT in November. I'm happy that they were able to do it in a safe environment. Jen Hale, incredible for her to be in that bubble and the job that she did throughout the tournament. Tupelo, Honey, Raycom, incredible job of doing what they did. Hall Pass Media, great job. Mugar, great job. And all the teams that participated. And now, hey, I guess the next thing that we've got to look forward to is July 31st, the NBA is going to come back. Major League Baseball, Major League Soccer. What's going to happen with the NFL? And then who stays and who goes in the draft? And we're a couple of weeks away from those decisions to be made. And as Dickie V came out with a tweet today and said he heard that Xavier Tillman is staying at Michigan State, which obviously is huge for Sparty.
Is that true? You're the one that knows.
Yeah, you know what? I haven't talked to Tom today, so I was going to call him later on. But
I'll tell you the biggest thing coming up is whether or not Mo Moderna comes out with a vaccine. And that is huge. I mean, that's going to affect every aspect of our life. People still die from flu, even though they get flu vaccines, people still die of the flu, but Moderna coronavirus vaccine ready to advance to the final phase of testing. And that is the biggest thing that I think, again, this is me maybe being ignorant, Seth. I don't know how you feel, but that's the biggest thing for sports. Let's just keep it to sports real quick. 100%. That's the biggest thing to sports and our world, really.
Yeah, Pfizer's got one coming out also as well. There are really smart people working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to try to help. And, you know, that, you know, that came out yesterday. That was great news. And, you know, hopefully we'll see what happens. But the TBT is for real. It is a blast that we've had a chance to be part of it. I'm all in if there's another one in November. Sorry I didn't get to Indianapolis for your golf event, which is absolutely incredible, honoring your dad and raising money for your community. Just another one of those things you do, whether it's for the bikes, whether it's the obviously against tobacco. As crazy as you are, you always are trying to do something else, which is the greatest misconception in the world about Dan Dodge. Everyone kind of wants to get in a tumble with you, but I mean, you just keep on knocking down doors and doing good things, which is really, really important.
Thank you.
And appreciated. And let's hopefully we'll get a chance to have some continue to have good news on the medical front. And next week we'll try to figure out I think we should start talking about players that should or shouldn't stay in the draft.
I agree with that. Let's do that next week. Absolutely. 100%. I think because was it August 3rd?
Yeah, August 3rd, I think it is. So we're like a couple
of
weeks away.
A lot of guys. Two things before this. I don't know what's going to happen if, in fact, in whatever people think that we're going to have a vaccine, that's going to come into play for people, too, because going to the draft, don't you think, is affected by whether we're going to have a season or not? You might as well go in the draft and go overseas if you don't get picked, if we're not going to have a season here. But the question then, Seth, is are they going to have a season overseas?
Well, that's the big question. Have a season overseas and are there not, like everyone says, just go overseas. You don't just go overseas because there aren't as many jobs overseas right now because teams are holding. They don't have the money. And the money, the one thing about overseas, and like my brother's been over there for 12 years, you don't get paid on your potential. In New Zealand, a little bit, that Australian league, but you don't get paid on your potential. You get paid on, can you help us win? Like Kyle Hines' numbers in Europe aren't great, but he's a winning player. So he's making a ton of money. So like, people think, well, I'm just going to go to Europe. It just doesn't work that way. You earn your way up the ladder in Europe. In America, it's potential. In Europe, it literally is you earn your way up the ladder.
All right. We'll talk about that next week.
All right, man. Hey, and by the way, wherever you listen to your podcasts, however you listen, first of all, it's the world's greatest podcast. So obviously you can give it a great rating. Number two is please download us and give us a great rating. And, the one thing you get is no pump fakes in this podcast. It's all real talk. That's why we are the world's greatest podcast.
Thank you for listening to Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage. You can listen and subscribe to all ESPN podcasts in the Listen tab of the ESPN app, including the latest from the NBA and the Hoop Collective podcast, available in the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.